The Auckland Art Deco Society welcomes you to our Deco Retro program here on Planet FM. We will bring you interesting interviews, updates of future Deco Society and other related events, also book reviews, handy household hints, and other snippets capturing the glamour and fascination of a bygone era. Deco Retro.
Good afternoon, listeners. This is Nancy on the Deco Retro program. West Auckland has a very interesting history. The early Maoris settled there, finding a land rich in timber and food from the Waitemata Harbour. The ethnic mix of the West, with its early Scottish settlers, succeeded by a strong Lebanese presence, left an imprint on the area which is still evident today. For instance, the Corbin family. After this came the Dalmatians from Croatia, mainly involved in the gum fields. But when the demand for gum subsided, they turned their hands to horticulture. Land was cleared, orchards and vineyards planted, and within a generation, Henderson became the hub of the country's wine industry, as well as an important supplier of fruit and vegetables. Since then, there has been many changes in this area. For years, Henderson and the Westies struggled. One could say they were looked at as a poorer suburb of Auckland, totally opposite to the east side, with its richer population of immigrants. From the 1990s, Henderson became a popular location for recent migrants to New Zealand to settle with its cheaper housing. The struggle for survival in this area also brought out the best in people, and the West has a strong sporting, artistic and cultural heritage. The gorgeous views from the Waitakere's, the wonderful scenery of Piha and surrounding beaches are all part of the wonderful West area of Auckland. Today I would like to introduce you to Gay Bishop, one of the authors of Henderson, Heart of the West. Gay was brought up and educated in East Auckland and moved to the West in the 1980s. She has always been interested in history, right from school years and throughout university. She became a member of West Auckland Historical Society in 2005 and was made president in 2013. She is semi-retired and is very keen to enjoy more research into both social history and biographies. She enjoys a membership in a car club and the Maori Welfare League and several non-profit organisations in encouraging and nurturing art and cultural activities. Hello, Gay. Lovely to have you with us today.
Hello.
Now, Gay, can you tell us a bit more about the early settlers of West Auckland, who they were and how they made a living?
Well, stemming from post-timber milling days, they were mostly people who'd stayed behind after the timber finished, and they created small farms and practiced mostly agricultural activities. Mm-hmm. But after that, there was an influx of people had arrived in the late 1800s, mostly from, as we said before, the Lebanon, mm-hmm. and also from various areas within Dalmatia, as it was known then, or Croatia. And those people began working on their own land if they could, or were working hard in the gum fields, but developed that whole agricultural process for themselves. And it was very much bringing their own way of living to New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
So it involved wine, of course, which sometimes was just for the house, but then, you know, yes, managed to improve.
Celibate when it got better to drink.
Absolutely. And also, of course, the orchard eating again started as part of the home orchard and then developed from there, but we're constantly trying to find ways to make a living without having to leave the land.
Yes, it was very much all dominated by the land, wasn't there, because there wasn't anything else, really.
Yes, that's absolutely right. Mm. And also because it's not the shape of Henderson, for instance, in the Henderson Valley, doesn't allow for the greater industrial pastoralism that you get throughout the flatter areas of New Zealand, like Canterbury, for instance, or Hawke's Bay. You can't have major sheep and cattle farms because there's just no room for that. So it's got to be very inventive and very creative. And the things like apples and grapes, they do flourish quite well on the clay.
Yes, it's quite amazing. I remember going out there years ago, you know, I sort of loved it, and going to these apple orchards and strawberry orchards and all that. It was sort of a fun thing to do on a Saturday or a Sunday.
Yes. Yes, and that would have probably been towards the end of those things fading away from that Henderson area, because, you know, I think we all remember, because, as you said, I wasn't brought up in the West. That was where you went on a Saturday or a Sunday, and the family picked their own apples and their own peaches, and it was a, you know, it was a day out, because Henderson seemed to be a very, very long way away.
It did, didn't it? Not now, but my gosh, in those days it did.
So,
what was this Henderson Mill? Was that one of the? It wasn't there for that long, was it?
But no, it was only in the. It started around the 1840s and 50s, and it had gone within less than 10 to 12 years, because there were a lot of mills throughout the Waitakere's as well. But Henderson's mill was Thomas, a man called Thomas Henderson, and also a I think it was his brother-in-law, Mr. McFarlane. So it was Thomas and McFarlane started the mill, and they were entrepreneurs. They actually didn't live.
Where were they from?
Scotland.
Oh, Scotland.
They're both from Scotland.
Hearty Scots people.
Yes. But they were entrepreneurs, and they actually developed businesses and properties in the east. In the main,
really? In as well Auckland as being City. Out west?
They didn't ever live out west.
Oh,
they actually had people who, you know, developed that industry for them.
Yes,
and it was employing, you know, quite a number of people. And really processed a huge amount of kauri timber, and that was taken downstream from where the mill cottage where we, you know, operate from is today.
Yes. Oh, yes, and the Corbin.
Yes, and it was floated around to the, you know, the east coast to the Waitemata. So it's a very, very interesting story, but it didn't take long to completely almost denude the entire Waitakere's. As I say, there are a lot of other mills.
A bit of a shame in a way, but still. Yes.
A lot of other mills operating at the same time. And in 175 years, next year will be the anniversary of Henderson, establishment of Henderson.
Oh, and, that'll be fantastic. You'll be involved in that, I dare say.
Well, yes, we hope so. But, you know, if you look at the Waitakere's now, there's a considerable amount of that timber has returned, which is great.
Yes. The Great Depression, that had a big influence, didn't it, on the West? Well, it had a big influence on everybody.
Yes, it did. But it was quite different, I think, to what might have been even in the Auckland City or in other regions throughout New Zealand, because what people don't probably learn or realise, there'd been a number of big depressions rolling all the way through from 1870.
Yes.
And what the Lebanese and Dalmatian and other settlers had was fortitude, and they understood how to survive in very difficult circumstances.
Yes, they did. They'd never had an easy life, had they? So
no.
It wasn't.
So they would go and sell door to door. If there was no, if the market disappeared, then they chased it.
Yes.
If the market changed, they changed.
They had a lot of get up and go, as they
very
say.
Very much so. And what I call real hard scrabble people who understood how to care for themselves.
Yes.
Because they had their own chickens and poultry and, you know,
self-sufficient.
Yes.
No, good on them. Now, the Corbin family, they're a very interesting family and well-known out in, out west. Can you tell us a little bit about them, you know, where they came from and what they established out there?
Well, they did come from Lebanon, and the original Asid Abraham Corbin came here, left behind a family, a wife and two boys, and he originally went to Australia, and he was looking for a place to create a, you know, a family environment and to prosper. And he didn't like Australia. And there's various...
I don't blame him after.
There's various stories about why that was, but essentially he was a devout Christian man.
Yes.
He was as we understand it, a gentleman, mm-hmm. and he didn't. He thought them brash and not well.
Oh, right. Okay.
Well bred, sort of. And so he came to New Zealand, and he did have a help from some a Jewish friend who gave him some money, and he set up a little haberdashery. It was like a rucksack, huge thing that carried on his back entire length and breadth of New Zealand.
Really?
And what he did was he went door to door and he sold notions, you know, haberdashery notions,
yes.
and things that
my
people...
Gosh. Or the length of New Zealand.
Yes.
And he didn't even have his family here.
No.
Not at that time.
And he walked.
Really?
And the thing being was... He had sold everything within quite a reasonable amount of time, was able to pay that money back, get a little bit more, plus a bit more, keep going.
Saver and just made them...
Yes. And so he established his family, which honestly was a great legacy, and he accumulated land, planted grapes, plus what everybody else did, orchards and all of the other things. And his wife came out with, I think, his two sons, and the rest of the family followed, and these were brothers. And so the whole family
sort of came out. Yes.
Now they all lived together in the Corbin homestead, which is in Henderson at the moment.
Yes.
And they extended it. And this was how they flourished, was they didn't take anything out of the business. They poured everything back into the business.
Well, that's really the successful way to, you know, start a business, isn't it, and keep it going.
Yes. And I think when the children and grandchildren showed gifts, then those children got the best education, and they were, you know...
Marvellous family.
...supported.
Yes.
It is very much the way that perhaps our Asian friends and Indian friends...
Yes.
...conduct themselves here in New Zealand.
Well, they're
now.
Very involved, like the families are always
they do the businesses.
Yes.
And they support their youngsters.
Right from the grandma right down to the uncles.
And they support the younger ones to move into better, more prosperous, I suppose, and in some ways more prestigious ways of earning a living too.
Yeah. Oh, no, I mean, gosh, that's interesting. No wonder they're so well thought of, the Corbin family out in the West. Now, what about the Dalmatians? Because they're a very hardy people too. They went into the wine growing. There are still some wineries there. Can you tell us about
that? There are none in Henderson at the moment. Not within that smaller Henderson borough area. Wider out there are on the Henderson Valley area.
That's probably what I'm thinking of,
yes. But nothing, there's none.
Some of them have grown quite large, haven't they? They're like...
Yes, there's one left in Lincoln Road, which is Mazarin, and that's it. And they were absolutely, you know, any number of them. We had there's a comprehensive piece of work in our book about those, and even then we know that there's probably quite a few that other people know about or that we've missed that were smaller or, you know, perhaps just a little bit, didn't last very long. But
so the Mazarins, they are still there now, and you can I've heard about them, but I've never ever had any of their produce.
yes, you could go there and buy very good wine.
Yes, gosh.
And I think in the same way as other, you know, migrants into the area, the Dalmatians are very culturally complete.
Yes.
They're very social and they support each other.
Yes.
And they all supported each other through the very difficult times as well, both with all the resources like money or...
Well, it'd come from such hard conditions, hadn't they, really?
Yes. In some ways, yes.
Yes.
But hard workers know the land, work it well.
Yes. Good. Now, what about the Falls Hotel? Can you sort of hear a bit about that? Can you tell us anything about that?
Well, it was the first and virtually only hotel in Henderson. And, of course, now there are none. And it is a restaurant. And it's been moved several times.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes.
Where is it finally now? Because I don't...
Oh, it's actually at the junction between Sal Peacock Drive and Merrill Drive in Henderson.
Oh, okay.
Just across from where the West Wave swimming pool complex and so on is.
Yes.
So it's has been moved there by a trust. the Heritage Trust that actually undertook that quite lengthy and difficult process. But originally it had been moved as well. It once used to face in front of the railway station, and when the Great North Road was extending and being concreted and become much more the focus, it moved a little bit again. It's got a very interesting history of its own, which is...
Oh, can you tell us a little bit about it? Don't have to...
Well, I'm not a particular expert on the hotel itself and its owners, but it's certainly got some great stories to be told about
it. Yes. Oh, well. Now, you have great, civic pride in Henderson. How do you celebrate that, and can you tell us a bit about it?
Well, at one point, of course, Henderson was a sub-regional centre, so there was a lot of things that were going on there, and the Waitakere Central building that was constructed for the Waitakere City Council is a beautiful, iconic and prize-winning architectural building. So that's something that people look at as a central space, but mostly there are a lot of parks throughout, I think, most of Henderson's existence. The councils there were very proud of the fact that they had greater park areas than almost anywhere else in the Auckland region.
That's fantastic. Yes.
So, you know, things like sporting events and different celebrations.
Yes.
At the moment they have music in the park, they have Elvis in the park, which attracts people every year.
Wow. Does Elvis come from the west, or is he imported?
Yes, there is a couple of very good Elvis impersonators, but people turn up all dressed up and they have their cars that look like, you know, of that period.
Yes.
And there is quite a lot of activities. There's the major mall, of course, which is what most people like to visit these days, but and a cinema complex too.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
But I think that possibly there's a lot less than there used to be in the post World War II years.
Right, because that seemed to be the era where people, they really got into that, didn't they?
Well, yes.
I'm so pleased to have that war, dreadful war, over, and the
population was expanding, and people were, it was good. Economic times were excellent.
Yes.
And in those times, there were a lot of things like charity balls and functions, and galas and dances. And
you've got a lot of photographs of that in your book, haven't you?
Yes. So there were, a number of very interesting things that people enjoyed.
Yes. Great. Now, the book. Shall we talk a bit more about that? Now, there was four different authors?
Three authors and an editor,
And you sort of did the series of, you had a changing community, civil and civic pride, the tale of three cities. Why did you sort of get all those?
Well, that's probably more my expertise, which is why I sort of trip over a little bit about the very early history.
Yes.
My interest is very much in the economic development and how various influences work upon what shapes cities or townships and what people can and can't do, where they can live and how they can live.
Mm. Mm.
So that's a slightly different, and it's well within living memory, so for some it's not that interesting.
Yes.
But it is my major interest. But the earlier pages, Grant Cole and Vivian Burgess did amazing work on both that early era.
Yes.
And that the era you're talking about is like post timber through to probably the end of the Depression.
Well, getting even the photographs, the old photographs, because sometimes they're just not available, or people have them and you don't even know they've got them.
That's got most to do with Vivian Burgess. Vivian was actually employed by the West Auckland Research Centre at the Henderson Library, specifically for the purpose of taking care of the heritage photographs.
Right. How did she get all the photographs?
I think they're gifted to the library, and also she has done an awful lot of interviewing of individuals and elderly people, and they share them, and we had permission to use those, and there are a lot of collections amongst the families as well, and Vivian is absolutely the key to collecting the vast majority of those.
Really?
Yes.
Has she lived for many years out there? Or?
Oh, no, she lives in Swanson, but has worked in Henderson, and just that's her passion.
Good on her. Yes. Now, if one wanted to buy the book, how do you go about it? And
we have a Facebook page, and they can also contact us at our phone number, which is 836-5917, and someone will take a message or answer, and also email info@westaucklandhistory.org.nz.
Okay. And if somebody wanted to join your historic...
Society.
The same
process.
They just need to do that.
We do have monthly general meetings for the public, which are advertised in our Facebook and in the local paper.
Mm-hmm.
But they can also use those information sites as well.
Okay, so do you meet every month or every...
Yes, every month. Fourth Wednesday of each month we meet at Waitakere Gardens, little convention space, which is really lovely.
Okay, that's great. Well, Gay, it's been tremendous having you here today. Really, I'm sure the listeners really enjoyed it. And it's good to know that, you know, we can get out there and buy your book and learn a little bit more about Henderson. And thank you for being with us today.
It's a pleasure, and thank you for inviting me.
Thank you. And now we're going to get Philippa, who's going to do future events for us.
Yes, well... the annual Vintage Textile Fair takes place this month. This once-a-year opportunity to view the largest display of genuine vintage textiles and related accessories gives collectors the chance to source many unusual items not easily found these days, and all for sale, including genuine vintage clothing, fabric, linens, buttons, lace, books, patterns, jewellery, hats, furs, handbags, parsimentary, shoes, etc., all genuine 1970s and older. This fair is a cornucopia of wonderful vintage collectibles and without a doubt will be of interest to fashion students and designers, museums, quilters, creatives, historians, jewellers, film stylists, textile designers, theatre companies, or anyone with an interest in antique and vintage textiles and clothing. So, come along on Sunday the 26th of August, any time between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. to the Tasman Room, Alexandra Park Raceway, corner of Green Lane and Manukau Roads, Epsom, Auckland. The entrance fee is $10, but parking is free. I'll just repeat it, Sunday the 26th of August, any time from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. For further information, contact Brian or Vicky Mossong, 09-820-1900. I'll repeat that, 09-820-1900, or email vickymoss@extra.co.nz. Vicky, spelt V-I-C-K-I, moss@extra.co.nz. And that's all for today.
Well, listeners, I hope you enjoyed our program today and our little Gay talking on West Auckland. Now, I'd like to end the program with a piece of music, and it comes from the TV series Outrageous Fortunes, which was a hilarious series about the West family in West Auckland. I think they lived in about the 1970s. So here we have Hello Sailor singing Gutter Black. Thank you for being with us today, listeners. Bye.
summer running by. I locked in the gutter black. I guess I'm running by.
If you enjoyed our program today, listen every second Wednesday of the month at 2:10 p.m. or download us anytime online at planetaudio.org.nz/DecoRetro. If you wish to join the Auckland Art Deco Society, phone Francis on 021 255 0241 or email francis@aerialengineering.com. Francis, spelt E-S, at Ariel, A-R-I-E-L, engineering.com. Bye for now.